Essay. The resolve of Pom Bodhi is the foremost among all good things. It can arise only due to certain causes and conditions. In general, there are 10 causes and conditions, which will now be discussed. What are the 10? The first is mindfulness of the Buddha's deep kindness. The second is mindfulness of our parents' kindness. The third is mindfulness of our teachers' and elders' kindness. The fourth is mindfulness of donors' kindness. The fifth is mindfulness of living beings' kindness. The sixth is mindfulness of the suffering in birth and death. The seventh is reverence for our own spiritual nature. The eighth is repenting of karmic obstacles and reforming. The ninth is the wish for rebirth in the Pure Land. The tenth is the wish to cause the proper Dharma to remain in the world for a long time. Commentary. The resolve of Pom Bodhi is the resolve to seek wisdom, to seek enlightenment to the path which is the opposite of confusion. We living beings are unenlightened about the way and therefore are unable to resolve upon Bodhi. Once we understand about the way, we can resolve upon Bodhi. This resolve is the foremost among all good things. No good deed you could do is as important as this resolve on Bodhi. It can arise only due to certain causes and conditions. There certainly must have been causes planted and conditions that aid your resolve upon Bodhi. Causes are the main reasons. Conditions are the supporting factors for development. Why would you want to resolve upon Bodhi? In general, there are 10 causes and conditions which will now be discussed. What are the 10? The first is mindfulness of the Buddha's deep kindness. We living beings are unaware of how kind the Buddha is to us. He is kind, compassionate, joyful, and impartial. There is no way to describe the Buddha's kindness. It could never be completely spoken of. The Buddha, for 3 asamkhya kalpas, cultivated blessings and wisdom, and for 100 kalpas, planted the seeds of the Buddha's perfect appearance. For the single goal of saving you, me, and all living beings, the goal that we stop suffering and find happiness, the Buddha personally endured all kinds of unbearable hardships while cultivating to reach the position for which he can help us. Thus, the Buddha's kindness is the most significant. The second is mindfulness of our parents' kindness. Our parents' kindness, from carrying us, bearing us, feeding us, and raising us, is another debt we will find hard to repay. The third is mindfulness of our teachers' and elders' kindness. Teachers refers to those who teach us Dharma and other ways of wisdom. We should also repay the debt we owe them for their toil in employing many clever ways to teach us. The fourth is mindfulness of donors' kindness. We have left the home life to cultivate the path. Donors are our Dharma protectors. They support us as we cultivate the way, and so this kindness is another debt we must repay. If we fail to make the resolve of Pom Bodhi, it will be a debt that is hard to repay. As it is said, if you haven't put an end to the 3 minds, then even a cup of water is hard to digest. Even a cup of water a donor gives you will be hard to digest if you haven't stopped the 3 minds and haven't resolved upon Bodhi. The fifth is mindfulness of living beings' kindness. All living beings, too, have been kind to us. We have had ties with them all, and so we should repay their kindness. The sixth reason for resolving on Bodhi is mindfulness of the pain and suffering involved in being in birth and death. The seventh is reverence for our own spiritual nature. All we living beings have the Buddha nature and can become Buddhas. We should, therefore, resolve to reach Bodhi and fully realize our potential to become Buddhas. We must revere our inherent spiritual enlightened nature. The eighth reason for resolving upon Bodhi is repenting of karmic obstacles and reforming, eradicating your karmic offenses. The ninth is the wish for rebirth in the Pure Land, the Western Land of Ultimate Bliss, and to see Amitabha Buddha. The tenth is the wish to cause the proper Dharma to remain in the world for a long time. We resolve upon Bodhi and cultivate the way. The proper Dharma age will exist in the world only when there are people truly cultivating the way. It will not exist in the world if no one truly cultivates the way. In light of these 10 reasons, we should all resolve upon Bodhi. Quickly resolve to reach Bodhi. Don't think that it doesn't affect other people if we cultivate or not. All beings in this world have an effect on each other. The Buddha Dharma will remain in the world for a long time if we resolve upon Bodhi. The Buddha Dharma will die out if any of us fail to resolve on Bodhi. Essay: What is mindfulness of the Buddha's deep kindness? After our thus come one Shakyamuni first made his resolve, he walked the Bodhisattva path for our sakes and passed through an infinite number of kalpas, enduring all manner of suffering. When I create bad karma, the Buddha pities me and with expedient means teaches and transforms me. I, however, remain ignorant and do not know how to accept the teaching with faith. When I fall into the hells, the Buddha again compassionately feels the pain and wishes to undergo suffering on my behalf. But my karma is heavy, and I cannot be pulled out. When I am reborn as a human, the Buddha uses expedient means to cause me to plant roots of goodness. In life after life, he follows me and does not forsake me in his thoughts for an instant. When the Buddha first appeared in the world, I was still sunk in the lower realms. Now that I have a human body, the Buddha has already passed into still quietude. What are my offenses that have caused me to be born in the Dharma-ending age? What are my blessings that have made it possible for me to leave the home and family life? What are my obstacles that have prevented me from seeing his golden body? What good fortune has made it possible for me to encounter his sharira? I contemplate in that way. If I did not plant good roots in the past, how else could I be able to hear the Buddha Dharma? And if I had never heard the Buddha Dharma, how could I know that the Buddha is always kind to me? His kindness and his virtue are greater than the highest mountain. If I fail to make a vast and great resolve to cultivate the Bodhisattva path and to establish the Buddha Dharma in order to save living beings, even to the point that in making this effort my bones wear away and my body is wrecked, then how could I possibly hope to repay his kindness? This is the first cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. Commentary. What is mindfulness of the Buddha's deep kindness? This is the first cause and condition. After our founding teacher, the Thus Come One Shakyamuni, first made his resolve. Why did the Buddha resolve his mind on Bodhi? He walked the Bodhisattva path for our sakes. For the single wish to save us living beings, the Buddha resolved to attain Bodhi and practiced the Bodhisattva path, which led him to benefit others in life after life. The Buddha passed through an infinite number of great kalpas, enduring all manners of suffering. When I create bad karma, the Buddha pities me. When we create bad karma, the Buddha pities us and wishes to take the suffering for us. And with various clever, expedient means and analogies to explain and clarify things, he teaches and transforms me, helping me to mend my evil ways, turn over a new leaf to become a good person, and to resolve upon Bodhi. I, however, remain ignorant and do not know how to accept the teaching with faith. The Buddha is so kind and compassionate to us, but we are dull and aren't even aware of the Buddha's kindness, and don't know enough to accept the Buddha's teaching. When I fall into the hells, the Buddha again compassionately feels the pain. When the Buddha sees a living being fall into the hells, it is as if he himself were falling in. It is equally unbearable. The Buddha wishes to undergo suffering on my behalf, but my karma is heavy, and I cannot be pulled out. Our karmic obstacles are too heavy, and we can't be saved. But after the Buddha devises the right methods to save us from the hells, when I am reborn as a human, the Buddha uses many kinds of clever and expedient means and Dharma doors to cause me to plant good roots. In life after life, he follows me. The Avatamsaka Sutra relates how the Bodhisattva accompanies living beings into the hells, becomes an animal with living beings, and becomes a hungry ghost with living beings. He does this in order to be with living beings and to be able to influence them to resolve upon Bodhi and cultivate. When the beings become human again, so does the Bodhisattva, always accompanying living beings as they go through their sufferings. The Buddha does not forsake me in his thoughts for an instant, not for even a split second. When the Buddha, Shakyamuni, first appeared in the world, I was still sunk in the lower realms, in the hells, among the animals, or one of the hungry ghosts. Now that I have a human body, the Buddha has already passed into still quietude. Through the Buddha's help, I have been able to become a human being again. But the Buddha has already entered nirvana. What are my offenses that have caused me to be born in the Dharma-ending age? We obviously have grave karmic offenses that have caused us to be born in the Dharma-ending age. If not, we would be born at a time when we could see the Buddha and hear him speak the Dharma. What are my blessings that have made it possible for me to leave the home and family life? This essay was written with monastics in mind. Although we have offenses, we also have blessings that have enabled us to leave the home life. What are my karmic obstacles that have prevented me from seeing the Buddha's golden body? What good fortune has made it possible for me to encounter his sharira? In the Dharma ending age, I'm lucky enough to be able to see the Buddha's sharira. I contemplate in that way. I think things over in light of the previously mentioned facts. If I did not plant good roots in the past, if I hadn't ever planted any good roots in the past, how else could I be able to hear the Buddha Dharma? You won't be able to hear the Buddha Dharma unless in the past you have planted good roots. And if I had never heard the Buddha Dharma, how could I know that the Buddha is always kind to me? I wouldn't know how kind the Buddha is to me unless I have heard the Buddha Dharma. His kindness and his virtue are greater than the highest mountain and deeper than any ocean. The Buddha is so kind to us. If I fail to make a vast and great resolve to cultivate the Bodhisattva path and to establish the Buddha Dharma with any strength I have, in order to save living beings, even to the point that in making this effort my bones wear away and my body is wrecked, if we fail to do our utmost to set up and propagate the Buddha's teachings, then how could I possibly hope to repay his kindness? We'll never finish repaying the Buddha's kindness. This is the first cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. This is the first of the 10 causes and conditions. We think of the Buddha's kindness and thus resolve upon Bodhi. Essay: What is mindfulness of our parents' kindness? Alas for my parents! I was born through much toil. I was nurtured 9 months in the womb and was suckled 3 years at the breast. My bottom was dried and my diapers were changed. I was fed delicacies while my parents toiled bitterly. Only then was I able to grow up. They hoped only that I might glorify and carry on the family name and continue the ritual offerings to our ancestors. But now I have left the home and family and am gratuitously called a disciple of Shakyamuni and have dared to assume the title of Shramana. I neither offer delicacies to my parents nor sweep the ancestral graves. While they live, I cannot take care of their physical needs. After they depart, I cannot guide their souls. In this world, I have thereby hurt them greatly, and as they leave this world, I am of no real help. To cause them such a double loss is a serious offense. How can I possibly avoid the consequences? I contemplate in this way. I must always cultivate the Buddha's path through hundreds of kalpas and in thousands of lives and save living beings everywhere throughout the 10 directions and 3 periods of time. I will rescue not only my parents of this life, but will do the same for my parents of every life. I will save not only one person's parents, but everyone's parents. This is the second cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. Commentary: What is mindfulness of our parents' kindness? Alas for my parents! Alas expresses the deep feeling for them that we should always have. I was born through much toil. These 2 opening lines are similar to the lines in the Book of Odes, a Chinese classic. I was nurtured 9 months in the womb and was suckled 3 years at the breast. My bottom was dried, and my diapers were changed. Meaning, while an infant, I was cared for by my mother. She kept me dry and clean. I was fed delicacies while my parents toiled bitterly. My mother took all the bitter pills and gave me all the sweets. Only then was I able to grow up. Only through such parental care is the child able to grow and mature. They hoped only that I might glorify and carry on the family name. Their only wish for me is that I continue their line and carry on the good family reputation, and continue the ritual offerings to our ancestors. The custom of offspring to honor and make ritual offerings to past relatives and ancestors. But now I have left the home and family. I'm already a monk and am gratuitously called a disciple of Shakyamuni. Here, Master Shingon means that he is called a disciple of Shakyamuni Buddha, whether or not he meets the requirements. I have dared to assume the title of Shramana. Again, the master speaks humbly, saying that he shamelessly dares to assume the title of Shramana, but feels that he does not meet the requirements. He says he is just pretending, just a filler who makes up the numbers, but can't actually fill the position. Shramana is one who diligently cultivates precepts, samadhi, and wisdom, and stops greed, hatred, and stupidity. I neither offer delicacies to my parents, nor sweep the ancestral graves. Master Shing'an, as a monk, no longer personally serves his parents, nor performs the ritual sweeping of the gravesite and ritual offerings. While they live, I cannot take care of their physical needs. Left-home people don't support their parents in material ways. After they depart, I cannot guide their souls. Even as monastics, we may not be advanced enough to be able to guide our parents' departed souls to blissful resting places. In this world, I have thereby hurt them greatly. From a worldly social viewpoint, and as they leave this world, I am of no real help. I have had no success in my cultivation of world-transcending methods of practice, and am unable to help them through my progress in cultivation. To cause them such a double loss is a serious offense. As they live, I don't support them. When they pass away, I don't make ritual remembrances. I've left the secular lifestyle and don't meddle in my secular family business. But I've caused them such a double loss. How could I possibly avoid the consequences? I contemplate in this way. I must always cultivate the Buddha's path through hundreds of kalpas and in thousands of lives. What should I do? I must always cultivate the Buddha's path, continuing to practice constantly. And I must save living beings everywhere throughout the 10 directions and 3 periods of time, the past, present, and future, in order to repay the kindness of my parents. I will rescue not only my parents of this life, but will do the same for my parents of every life. I will save not only one person's parents, but everyone's parents, enabling them to be reborn in the heavens. When one child attains the way, 9 generations are reborn in the heavens. If we do a good job of cultivating, then we can cause those people related to us through 9 generations past, and even everyone's parents to ascend. This is the second cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. Essay. What is mindfulness of our teachers and elders' kindness? My parents bore me and raised me, but if not for educators and elders, I would know nothing of propriety and righteousness. If not for spiritual teachers and elders, I would understand nothing of the Buddha Dharma. One who knows nothing of propriety or righteousness may be considered a mere animal. One who understands nothing of the Buddha Dharma is no different than an ordinary person. Now we know the rudiments of propriety and righteousness, and have a rough understanding of the Buddha Dharma. The Kshaya sash covers our bodies. The various precepts permeate our being. We have obtained these through the deep kindness of our teachers and elders. If we seek a small accomplishment, we can benefit only ourselves. Within the great vehicle, our wish is to benefit all people. In that way, we can benefit both secular and world-transcending teachers and elders. This is the third cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. Commentary. What is mindfulness of our teachers and elders' kindness? Why do we say that we should be mindful of repaying the kindness of our teachers and elders? Repaying the kindness of our parents was previously discussed. They gave birth to our physical bodies, and so we are deeply indebted to them. Now we are going to learn of the kindness of our teachers and elders. Teachers are models of holding the rules. Under them, one studies the rules and regulations. A teacher is lofty and surpasses the common lot. My parents bore me and raised me, but if not for educators and elders, I would know nothing of propriety or righteousness. They teach and transform by imparting knowledge to me. Propriety refers to behavior that shows courtesy and of respect. Righteousness means possessing integrity, patriotism, and a public spirit. General Guang Gong of the Three Kingdoms period was known for his magnificent, righteous loyalty that was loftier than the skies. He was dedicated to protecting his emperor Liu Bei. He could not be bribed or made a tool of by others. Although General Cao Cao tried to trick him into deserting, Guang Gong never compromised his principles. If you greet people by respectfully making a half bow and showing them deference, they will certainly not scold you in return. People might scold you if you are rude and impolite to them. People might scold you anyway. Some people even scold monks like me, but I don't get angry and say, "You've scolded me. Well then, I'll make you fall into the Avicii hells." The relentless hells. Instead think, "I'll take them across to Buddhahood. If they don't reach Buddhahood, I won't either." Propriety and righteousness must be understood by people in the world. We must not fail to understand propriety and know of righteousness. We must never neglect to do righteous deeds. We must do things properly, exactly, and correctly. In this way, each of us can be righteous. We can also be righteous by helping others, even if doing so means taking a personal loss. Let us forgo selfishness and help others instead. Educators instruct their students in all aspects of propriety. They teach us to be polite and to avoid scolding others. We differ from animals because of our propriety. The behavior of people who fail to respect others may be considered mere animals. But even animals respond cordially to one another's. How can we humans fail to be polite? Propriety is one of the 8 virtues. 1. Filial gratitude. 2. Fraternal respect. 3. Loyalty. 4. Trustworthiness. 5. Propriety. 6. Righteousness. 7. Virtue. 8. Sense of shame. We should be respectful and have a righteous regard for others. Were it not for the education offered by our teachers, we would not understand how to behave as people. If not for spiritual teachers and elders, I would understand nothing of the Buddha Dharma. Those who wish to cultivate the path definitely must find a bright-eyed, good and wise advisor. What are the requisites for a good and wise advisor? First, he must not be greedy for wealth. Second, he must not be greedy for material objects, nor be lustful. Third, he must not seek for fame. Fourth, he must not be selfish. Use this checklist. Does he direct others to do things so that he will gain the advantage? Does he always plot to widen the scope of his own name and fame, and to promote his own position? A real, bright-eyed, good and wise advisor would never do anything to benefit himself or to get name and fame. Instead, everything that he does is to help and benefit others. Those who do not find a bright-eyed, good and wise advisor will not understand the Buddha Dharma. Lacking that understanding, how will they transcend this world? Most essential to cultivating the path is to take a personal loss and benefit others, something that worldly people do not wish to do. One who knows nothing of propriety or righteousness may be considered a mere animal. Most animals do not understand propriety. There are some, however, like the crow, that returns to care for its parents, and like the goat kid, that kneels respectfully to drink the mother goat's milk. These animals are filial. So the meaning here is that a person who does not understand propriety is like an unfilial animal. One who understands nothing of the Buddha Dharma is no different than an ordinary person. If we cultivate but do not understand the Buddha Dharma, then how do we differ from ordinary worldly people? We don't. Now we know the rudiments of propriety and righteousness. "We," says Great Master Xing'an, refers to all monks and nuns and all lay Buddhists. To know the rudiments is to get the general idea in very plain and simple terms, to get the gist of propriety, and to have a rough understanding, a small part of the Buddha Dharma. The kashaya sash covers our bodies. The kashaya, the precept sash, is worn by monks and nuns. So it says, One now receives the kashaya sash as a result of seeds for Bodhi that one planted in the past. To leave home and enter monastic life is not an easy matter. Without good roots, you cannot do it at all, or if you are able to do it, you will soon retreat. We should vow to enter the path as a virgin youth in life after life. We want to make just that firm a resolve for Bodhi. Cultivation is very easy for those who have entered the path as a virgin youth. On the other hand, cultivation is very hard for those who are not virgin youths. Of course, they too can cultivate, but only with difficulty. The various precepts permeate our being. The various precepts are the 5, 8, the 10 major, and 48 minor bodhisattva precepts, the 250 bhikshu precepts, and the 348 bhikshuni precepts. By taking and upholding these precepts, we obtain great benefits. A saying goes, when living beings receive the Buddha's precepts, they immediately enter the Buddha's position. From the Brahmanet Sutra, one receives the Vajra light jewel precept substance. We have obtained these through the deep kindness of our teachers and elders. Because of their intense kindness, we obtain the kashaya sash and the various precepts. And after we have obtained such rare treasures, if we seek a small accomplishment, we can benefit only ourselves. If we do not cultivate the great vehicle practices, but cultivate only the methods of the lesser vehicle, then we can only become enlightened to the fruition of arhatship. Attaining arhatship is good. However, it benefits only oneself, not others, enlightens oneself, not others, and saves oneself, not others. Within the great vehicle, our wish is to benefit all people. In that way, we can benefit both secular and world-transcending teachers and elders. This is the third cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. Essay: What is mindfulness of donors' kindness? None of the materials we use in our daily lives belongs to us. Porridge and rice for our two meals. Clothing for the four seasons. Medicines for our illnesses. All the expenses for our physical needs come through the strength of others. In order to provide for us, they work hard to plow the fields, yet can barely provide for themselves, while we sit comfortably to receive our food and still feel dissatisfied. Our donors spin and weave without cease and still suffer hardships, while we are comfortable with more clothes than we can wear. We are even unaware that we should cherish what we have. They live to the ends of their days in poor and humble dwellings, and nerve-racking clamor while we dwell among vast courtyards and in vacant halls amid refinement and ease throughout the year. They offer the fruits of their labors to supply our idleness. How can our hearts be at peace? Is it reasonable to use others' goods to nourish our own bodies? If we fail to be both compassionate and wise, and to adorn ourselves with both blessings and wisdom, so that the faithful donors are blessed with kindness, and living beings receive bounty, than even one grain of rice or one inch of thread will incur a debt. It will be hard to escape an evil retribution. This is the fourth cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi. Commentary. What is mindfulness? Not repaying, but not forgetting. Donor's kindness. None of the materials we use in our daily lives belongs to us. The essentials we use every day aren't ours. Others offer them to us. Morning porridge and rice at lunch for our two meals. Clothing for the four seasons. All the clothes we wear. Medicines for our illnesses. All the expenses for our physical needs. What we wear and eat come through the strength of others. Others offer them to us to support us while we cultivate the path. In order to provide for us, they work hard to plow the fields. Farmers sweat and toil, yet can barely provide for themselves. Sometimes they are even without food, while we sit comfortably to receive our food and still feel dissatisfied. We do not work, but still have food and get picky, finding this dish tastes bad and that dish is no good. Our donors spin and weave without cease and still suffer hardships. It requires much hard work to weave a piece of cloth. Yet, we are comfortable with more clothes than we can wear. We are even unaware that we should cherish and take care of what we have. They live to the ends of their days in poor, broken down, and humble dwellings amid nerve-wracking clamor, never getting even a moment's peace, while we dwell among vast courtyards and in vacant halls amid refinement and ease throughout the year. We live comfortably and free in large buildings with well-maintained yards. They offer the fruits of their labors to supply our idleness. How can our hearts be at peace? We supply our own idleness through others' work. How can we feel good about this in our hearts? Is it reasonable to use others' goods to nourish our own bodies? No, it is not reasonable. What should we do? If we fail to be both compassionate and wise, cultivating the contemplation of compassion and the contemplation of wisdom, and to adorn ourselves with both blessings and wisdom, cultivating blessings and wisdom, then transferring that, so the faithful donors are blessed with kindness and living beings receive bounty, then even one grain of rice or one inch of thread will incur a debt to be repaid in the future. One grain of rice offered by a faithful donor is as heavy as Mount Sumeru. If we eat it and fail to cultivate the path, we'll toil as beasts of burden to repay it. Those of old also said, even water is hard to digest if you fail to stop thoughts about past, present, and future. If someone makes an offering of a glass of water, it will be hard to digest if we drink it but fail to cultivate. It will be hard to escape an evil retribution, and the debts will be repaid. This is the fourth cause and condition for making the resolve to attain Bodhi.